Nabil just asked a beautiful question and asked for some clarification in terms of these techniques that we spoke about that have to do with relaxation techniques. You can find those techniques in many other religions. And I think, I'm inferring that your question has to do with, yes, but what is the uniquely and specific orthodox practice of that? Because for us, the technique is secondary. The technique like belly breathing or sitting and so forth. As human beings, many of us need that. However, I think his question has to do with, but is this exactly the same as, let's say, transcendental meditation or some other form of meditation or some that has some... Sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, the Jesus prayer is just a mantra. Like people, you know, saying a mantra and kind of getting out of their mind or something like that. No, the Jesus prayer is not a mantra. That should be very, very clear. It is the naming of our God. It's not some kind of rote thing that, you know, again, the scriptures say, don't just heap up rote prayers again and again. No. We couldn't agree more with the scripture that every time we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we mean we're talking about a person and we're talking to a person. So, you know, if I'm with Father Daniel and I say, my son, my son, my son, it's not like I'm heaping up words. Or if I'm with my wife, I say, I love you. She said, well, you know, if she said something like, well, you said that, you know, 30 years ago. You don't need to keep saying that. That's not what she's going to say, right? If I say, I love you, she says, I hope, you know, yes. And I say it again and again and again. I'm not just heaping up rote words. To say Lord Jesus Christ, or to say my son, my son, my son, this is not a mantra. This is not some kind of gimmick or something like that. It is the prayer. And as the Fathers say, these other techniques are for maybe beginners like myself that need something to help me bring the mind back. In past generations, where people walked, for example, and they may walk by a stream, you know, and just the sound of a brook, you know, just the sound of a brook brings us, this is scientifically true, brings us back into an alpha wave, a very receptive wave. So just walking alongside a brook, hearing birds singing and so forth, hearing the tree, seeing the trees sway in the wind, feeling the wind, God has put all sorts of things to bring us back into a state of inner peace or inner quiet. How many of you find that when you go into nature? That's just normal. Though we wouldn't say that's a technique or it's a gimmick. We would just say God has lots of ways to bring us back home. We live in a world where we really, our minds are being ripped out of our soul. So I find these some of these techniques to be very helpful. However, I don't want to overstress the technique, because the purpose is that we come home to a place of prayer where we call on the name of the Lord. And we're not using that rotely. I'm hoping that's very clear. We're speaking to a person and some specific things. We could look at each word, Lord. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? Jesus from Yahshua, Savior, Son of God. I mean, the prayer that we pray is packed theologically. And it's not like any other religion, believe me. To call on the name of Jesus, I'm not saying that there aren't any truths in other religions. I think there are. But Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Logos. Every knee will bow before Christ. Let's be absolutely clear. We're not talking about co-equal things in this world. I'm not saying we don't have to run down other people and their techniques or whatever they're doing. There may be even truth in that, because the scripture says the word, the Logos, has gone out throughout the whole world. So the Logos says, everybody has some light. But what we're talking about here is coming to a place of stillness where we can commune with the light. And the light's not impersonal. The light has a name. And, you know, that name, Emmanuel, God with us. And when he became incarnate, that name was Jesus. And we're very clear about that. So was that helpful, or do we need
I understand. I understand that. I just wanted to
affirm that.
To affirm it because of the fact that all these other, whether it's Buddhism, meditation, etc.
Yes, this is
seek deification through this process, and this is not what we're talking about.
Not what we're saying. There may be certain similarities, but I'm also saying that no one will come into the kingdom of heaven except through Jesus Christ. Because he's the God-man who's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the one, the uncreated, who has joined himself inseparably with the creation. There is no other door to the uncreated but through the Logos, the God-man, the Theanthropos, the one who is Theos and Anthropos, the man. There is no other door. So, although there might seem like there are similarities about these other things, and we can have even conversations with them, I don't think we have to be defensive about other things. But these are tools, but the tools don't make any sense without the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just reaffirm that. Is that helpful to just to reaffirm?
Yeah, is
something else that I may be missing, or anything else you see here that
I was just going to maybe just for myself to rephrase it.
Okay.
I think the fundamental difference between the Orthodox practice of the Jesus Prayer and every other religion's kind of meditation, at least the ones that I'm aware of, like in Buddhism, for example, where you say a mantra, is that that's an impersonal technique, and the whole goal is to become sort of depersonalized, to become one with the whole universe. Whereas in Christianity, it's a personal conversation with a person. I think that's the essence of it. It's about a conversation with a person as opposed to something impersonal.
Thank you. Well said.
And something else,
yeah,
just about the Jesus Prayer technique, is that with the technique of the breathing and the prayer itself, I think it also works in the other direction. And here's, you know, where different spiritual fathers will say different things for different reasons and for the personality of the person that they're working with. And something that my spiritual father said 3 years ago was not to focus on the breathing, but to focus on the words of the prayer themselves. And that may have to do with the fact that he perceived in me that if I was focused on the breathing, I would be so serious about doing the breathing right that I would forget about the prayer. So he taught me rather just to say the words and to try to concentrate on those words. And St. Ignatius Bianchininov uses the language of clothing your mind or wrapping your mind in the words of the prayer. In other words, you're sort of blocking out all the other thoughts by just thinking, Lord, Jesus, Christ, and focusing on those words. And I've found that it works the other way, that by saying the Jesus Prayer, pretty soon my breathing is calmer.
Yeah.
So I think it can be both ways. Sometimes you have to start with the breathing, and sometimes it can go the other way.
But I think Father Daniel's making an important point, that there will be fathers who will say, don't focus on this breathing. So there would be fathers who would disagree with, you know, what I had just been teaching. I could also quote lots of fathers that agree with that. And what's the point there? I think this is an important lesson, that within the church, there are saints even that slightly will disagree. I'll give one example for this. It has to do with the Philokalia. There are two saints, Paisios Velikovsky and Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain. And they both were part of the renewal of some of these teachings about Hesychia and so forth, and the Philokalia, the teaching of the wisdom of the church and so forth. And St. Paisios, when he was asked, should we publish this for lay people to read? He said, absolutely not. It's only for monks. None of the lay people should be reading this. It's too dangerous and they'll go astray. And St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain, he said, absolutely, we should publish this. And it should be read by all. And if somebody goes astray, he says, our good shepherd will come and bring him back. And if he goes astray because of maybe egotism and delusion, that was already in him anyway, and that would have happened anyway. Better be jumping off of buildings anyway without reading this. So there are two very different views about the reading of the Philokalia. And you can probably discern which one I've chosen on that, the kind of the path, the person I, the elder, the saint that I've followed on that, but which is St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain. I follow that path and that teaching, but that does not mean, and usually I try to be very careful to warn and say what the other says. We have to be very careful about this, about fantasia, about maybe getting focused on techniques that will take us away from the prayer, and that will make us think that we can do this on our own in some way. And your point, Father Daniel, is your spiritual father knew the exact medicine you needed. And every one of us has to. That's why whenever somebody teaches, it can't be. Don't be very careful, in the sense of talk to your spiritual fathers about how do I weigh this. Father John said this, but you know, Father will say yes. But Father John, if you would talk to him, he might nuance that a lot more. And maybe for the sake of this discussion, he kind of put it in this bold way. But when he's applying that medicine to his own spiritual children, he has to nuance that. He says, has to be like a spiritual doctor that says, okay, maybe in your case you don't think about the breathing. That will take you off. You'll get too focused on that. Just think about the words. Maybe in this person's case, better not to read the Philokalia right now. I just know you're given to weird things, and you're going to take that and become you're going to become weird with that. Don't read that. Just what was that?
Unless you're already weird.
Yeah. St. Nicodemus would say, "Well, he's already weird anyway." But do you hear what I'm saying here? We have to be very careful.
Absolutely. And I mean, many years ago, I asked the question. I don't recall to whom I asked that question. I said, "We are in a world where a lot of New Age propaganda is out there. There's a lot of movements to get people to start thinking, and the Orthodox Church has certain spirituality to it and techniques of spirituality to it that I think need to be brought out more into the open." And I appreciate the fact that you're discussing all this today, because in all honesty, having been in the church for close to 60 years, this is the first time I hear any, you know, man of the clergy come and talk about it this way. And
Nabil,
I'm very grateful that it's
thank you.
That. I mean, that's wonderful.
Thank you. And I want to, last word, to assure you that all this teaching that I gave, except the poems that weren't from an Orthodox source, but everything else I received from the Philokalia and the teachings of the fathers.
That was
not my opinions and so forth. In other words, these basic teaching, I could give you many, many other quotes. You saw maybe a stack of a paper I didn't use because I do sometimes a longer retreat. But I assure you, this is coming from the teachings of the Holy Fathers in our Orthodox tradition. But that last word I gave about St. Paisios and St. Nicodemus, they're both, which one of those two are right? The answer is yes. They're both right. And we can never pit one against the other. We have to simply say, these are two brothers, and they are different. They're doctors that are holding this. And he's looking at the cautions, because people can get really off. And he's also looking at St. Nicodemus is saying, yes, but Nabil's been coming for 60 years, and this would be good to... He knows it already, but in his heart, but it's good to maybe talk about it in this teaching. You already know these things. I'm reminding all of you of things that you already know. But that's what most of our life is about, is remembering. And I've come to you, and you've been very gracious to listen to me a long, long time. I've come to just remind you to remember what is already there. And even a person's just childlike heart. We don't need to have PhD in this stuff. You can know it already. I mean, a child can know these things intuitively. And it's also good to have classes where we talk about it and we give the teachings of the church. Thank you all so much. Nabil, I really thank you for letting us do some clarification here at the end. And if there needs to be more, Father Daniel, whatever he says, I'll follow. So.
Are there any other questions for me? Thank you, Father John, for coming.
What a sweet, sweet, sweet congregation and pan-Orthodox gathering this has been.
You're reminding us of things, but I think a lot of this was probably new or put in a new way for many of us. Or if it was a reminder, it was a very enlightening reminder. So thank you very much for coming and for giving us this teaching, which, as you say, is the teaching of the Holy Fathers. And I pray that by God's grace we'll be able to implement these things and these, especially these tools that you've given us for the healing of our souls.
Glory to God.
So pray for us that we'll be able to do that. And speaking of prayer, we'll actually...